There's a couple of meetings coming up this week. Those that are on the property committee or stewardship. Looks like personnel has a meeting. Centennial. It'll be a busy week, man. Does the pastor have to go to all those? I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, man. All right. So, lots of things going on this week. I know we had a good time. Those of us that came out for the, whether you were in the parade or just watching, we had a good time at the 4th of July parade. So thanks to those that helped organize that. I know Judy helped keep us in line and a number of other folks as well. It was hard to miss us with all of our balloons and everything else. So, and those of us riding bikes and all the rest. So I know we had a good time. And the balloons seemed to be a hit, so we'll have to get those again next year as well. But I think we still have a few thousand, so I think we're okay. Let's see what else is going on here. Looks like Lee still needs some lawnmowers. I know the sign-up sheet is now just up for the beef and corn feed. So if you want to help out with that, I know Skip and Lynn would be delighted for you to help out with that. I know they always do such a good job with that, and definitely we hope they'll find someone to pick up after they retire this year. So, unless they're doing a retirement kind of like Val in the Jamboree, where she's been retiring for like, 5, 10 years now or something like that. But we're always grateful for all the help people are able to offer. I guess those are the main ones I have at this moment. Certainly a number of folks on our prayer list this morning. And we're continuing on again this month with our centennial raffles to help raise money for our coming very quickly centennial next month in August, early in August, August 11th. So our big celebration. But this month we're just keeping it simple. We're just, for the centennial, we're giving out a centennial gift card is this also the music month too when we're doing that? Oh, that's a special one. So we haven't mentioned this, I guess. Also with the Centennial raffle this month, if you win it, or if you are the winner for this, I guess, option, you can choose the hymns for one of the Sundays in August. So if you've always wanted to just have total control over what hymns you're like, Pastor never plays enough of that, or Jim and Pastor are always picking these kinds, you can win that raffle and you can choose whatever kinds of, maybe a little bit of control. But within reason, we'll let you pick the hymns for that day. And I won't be here, so what do I care? We're doing pastor exchange that week, so I guess you guys can play whatever you want. But that should be fun. Anything else we need to announce at this time? All right. Well, the veggie stand is going good again, so make sure to check that out on Saturday mornings. I know. Lots of good items to eat there. But otherwise, let's prepare for our opening hymn, hymn 790, 790. Thank you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Seeking reconciliation with God and neighbor, let us remember the gift of baptism and confess our sin. Seeking reconciliation with God and neighbor, let us remember the gift of baptism and confess our sin. It's important to do it more than once. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, against one another, and against the earth entrusted to our care. We are worried and distracted by many things, and we fail to love you above all else. We store up treasures for ourselves and turn away from our neighbors in need. Forgive us that we may live in the freedom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When we were laid low by sin and guilt, God made us alive together with Christ, forgiving us all our trespasses by taking our sins to the cross. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Rejoice in this good news. Amen. Let us pray. O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, you are the city that shelters us, the mother that comforts us. With your Spirit, accompany us on our life's journey, that we may spread your peace in all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Kingdoms of this.
Our first and main reading this morning is Psalm 27, beginning with the first verse. We will read it responsively, and I will begin. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the gospel. And our gospel reflection this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning in the 25th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Creator, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, we have come to a turning point in our journey of faith told through the Psalms. This is our third part of our five-part Psalm series. We are at the climax point. The first week, we were happy. We were confident, giving praise for all that God has done in our lives. Then last week, we were stuck in the mire. The water was rising almost up to our head. God even provided a good background environment for him as we had thunderstorms going on. It was easy to imagine the more metaphorical storms that the psalm spoke of last week. And so last week, it was indeed a psalm of lament, one of these dark, difficult psalms where the psalmist and we, along with the psalmist, ask of God, this good and loving God, what is going on? Why am I suffering? Why are those that I love suffering? Why are countless people and animals and other forms of life beyond my knowing suffering? And so here we are this week. And it's a different place. New in some respects, a little bit. Something has changed anyway. That much seems obvious, and yet it hasn't, right? We hear the psalm, and the psalmist is still in the midst of enemies. They're all around them. And yet, there's a new confidence. The storm has cleared a little bit, or at least they're in the eye of the storm. There's a little bit of calm there. And yet, it's not, you know, sometimes when you have these lament psalms, it almost feels like they almost always end on a happy note. There's really only one or two psalms that just end completely in a bleak sort of fashion. And we don't usually read those because they're kind of depressing, you know. But they're still good. But most of them, they do have some sort of happy note, even if it's like, oh, everything's going wrong in my life. But be happy because God is good, you know. And it kind of feels almost tacked on, you know, like the psalmist was like, I've got to be careful. I don't get struck down by lightning here, you know. So, yes, God is good, you know. But today's psalm is not that. There's struggle. There's hardship. There's enemies all around the person in this psalm. And yet, there's something else. There's trust. There's trust that God is good, that in the midst of all of this, God is looking out for them. God is with them. You know, a healthy life of faith, as we've talked about, needs moments of unrestrained joy. And sometimes it also needs moments of unrestrained questioning and anguish to just sort of get it out of our system, to hold nothing back in our relationship with God. Nothing hidden, not from God who knows what's going on, of course, and sees all things, but not to hide things from ourselves, not to hide things from others in our life. But I think the hope, with all that unrestrained joy and unrestrained questioning, is that we build to this moment of trust, where even when we feel surrounded, even when we feel afraid, we remember that God is on our side, that God's love will drive out fear, that we are not defenseless, that a mighty fortress is our God. That this is one of those psalms that inspired that famous old Martin Luther hymn. Perhaps you remember back in 2010 the story of those trapped miners, 33 miners down in a well in Chile. 33 men trapped 2,300 feet below for 69 days, surviving on one can of tuna a day each. Or not each, one can divided amongst 33 men each day. Just having a little bit of calories to sustain them for however long, they had no clue. And yet they made it. They were all rescued on that 69th day. One of them, even a man named Ariel Tacona, even became a father. He was stuck down the well so long. His wife went into labor during it and named their newborn girl Esperanza, or Hope. For many of the men, even those that were not previously religious, reported even years later that they thought of another miner that was with him in that well, a 34th miner, they said, 2,000 feet underground. God. God's presence among them, down in the dark, in the cold of the mine. You need faith, one miner said, a miner named Jorge. You can never lose your faith. Faith is nourishment. faith is life. Evidently, even better than a can of tuna stuck 2,000 feet down the well, that faith was nourishment to them, keeping them alive even in what must have felt like a very hopeless situation. And so this psalm, this prayer, it speaks of this lifeline, of this bit of hope, this rope that we can cling onto when the water is rising, when the enemies surround us, when the wind and hail whips us in our face. I often think of in my own life of this idea of faith being sufficient, of it just being enough. Not abundant. We can't always manage to grasp abundant or to have the faith to realize abundance, even if it might be staring us in the face. And certainly sometimes we do feel overwhelmed as well. But other times, I think we just have enough faith to see us through. This one little rope that can kind of lift our heads above the water. To have just enough trust in God. To know that God that we live in the kind of world that we live in and face the kinds of difficulties that we face. And yet know that we also have the kind of God that we have. And so, I think this psalm is also a psalm of courage. As much as it's a psalm of trust, it's a psalm of courage. You know, that's the one thing I don't like about all the superhero movies, as much as I tend to go to many of them. You know, the truth is, a lot of superheroes, they're actually kind of light on courage, right? If you're Superman, I guess you're afraid of kryptonite. But, like, you know, if bullets bounce off you, there's a lot of things you can just kind of rule out in your life, you know? We don't quite have that luxury in our life. I think there's a lot of us that walk around with a lot more courage than all these superheroes that get all these big summer blockbuster movies. Well, not even, and certainly there's the more usual suspect kind of heroes that we talk about and we certainly remember, the military folks, the firefighters, the police officers that put their lives on the line. But of course there's other people that do that as well, that fight for justice in other ways, that work on behalf of easing suffering in other ways, journalists and activists and aid workers. I know we're certainly continuing to pray for Chad, one of our missionaries in Africa that we support. You know, they certainly put their lives on the line to care for others. And of course, we remember others. You know, it's not that long ago that we had Mother's Day and Father's Day. We think of parents working long hours, draining jobs to care for their families. Maybe just people, friends, bringing food, sitting with those who are ill. People choosing people working in manual labor, deciding to choose longer, more difficult ways of fixing things and building things, but which is better in the long run. You know, we give of ourselves, people who face down bullies and people who speak hateful things. If you're at the cafe or in line at the store and you hear someone say something nasty, standing up for that. You know, we risk things in different ways. Discipleship. When we live out God's call to love one another, usually leads us into deeper water. That is, of course, the challenge. That's what I'm thinking of when I think of courage in this psalm, that as much as it's about trusting in God when we simply happen to find ourselves in deeper water, it's also a statement of courage to step into those deeper waters sometimes, to know that if we go this way, that we may run the risk of needing God's help because we're going to face some difficult things more than we would if we just kept on doing what we always do. This psalm, I think, also carries with it some defiance. I love that edge to it. It has a good dose of sort of a bring it on kind of an attitude. Our gospel reading, which we're pretty familiar with, it's a lovely gospel reading, a bit challenging, encouraging us not to worry. That's easier said than done sometimes. But it, has these lovely poetic lines about the lilies of the field and Solomon and all his splendor and all that. But I love our psalm, I think, almost even more just for the kind of cockiness of it, right? I do trust in God. You can kind of imagine it with maybe a little bit more of an attitude. I do not fear the things that are around me. It's almost like the psalmist is trying to convince themselves, right? Have it like a little bit of a mantra that you can see them speaking it in the morning before they get ready. They're kind of looking in the mirror, brushing their teeth, ready to face another difficult day ahead of them. I do trust in God. I maybe don't entirely believe it all the way yet, but I'm going to keep saying it until I do believe it, just to have that sufficient enough faith. And maybe we need to have ourselves as our own mantra as we go through our lives to proclaim this boldly, even if it's not in front of other people, at least in front of the mirror, in front of ourselves in the morning. Maybe try with kind of a nice cheesy New York accent, right? You know, the Lord protects me. I'm afraid. You want to try me? Come on, world, you know, bring it on. Just read through the whole psalm with that kind of, you know, Robert De Niro and Taxi Driver kind of, you know, you talking to me? You know, just kind of end the psalm with, you know, forget about it or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, we need to have this sort of confidence in our lives, not to pretend that difficulty doesn't happen, but that we are, with God's help, ready to face it as it comes. You know, and it's not that we should always have to feel like we have to put on a brave face. I mean, that can be one of the great gifts we give one another, one of the most profound ways we can serve one another with our friends, with strangers we meet, to simply be that listening ear when we can't put on that brave face. But I think, you know, what we try to help one another do is to move beyond that and to get a little bit of that courage and that trust in God's promises to be courageous, to get a little more fire in the belly to face this world that is often difficult to face. So we are ready to take on life so that we can wade into deep waters willingly, knowing that God will be there to get our back, to throw us that lifeline, so that we are bold enough to love and to be loved, to be compassionate and generous, to forgive and to be forgiven, to serve and be served, to give thanks for what has gotten us this far, and to be open to the new thing, the unexpected thing, the unknown thing. Today is a bit of boldness, and we'll see what happens next in our series. You know, this is maybe the climax, but we're not done. We have a couple more weeks left of our Psalms. But I hope that all of you can build in you this trust and this confidence in the love of God, knowing that it's there, knowing that it will see you through whatever enemies, whatever challenges, whatever twists and turns life may throw at you, to help nurture that sense of confidence in others, that trust that God is good, that God's mercy does indeed endure forever. Amen.
rise as you are able.
Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Joining our voices with God's people around the world, let us offer our prayers for those in need. For the church and its ministries, for pastors and musicians, for teachers and leaders, that their joyful noise clearly announces your reign of peace come near. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For your works revealed in creation, for rivers and streams, for thunderstorms and sunshine, and for those preparing for harvest time, that you inspire our care for the earth. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For peace and justice in the world, for all levels of government, for areas affected by strife, that those in authority always work for the good of all, bringing your justice to all people. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For the sick and those who console them, for prisoners and those who show them mercy, for the downtrodden and those who help them flourish, for those suffering from malaria and Zika, and for all in need of care, that you comfort them as a mother comforts her child. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For those spending time with friends and family this summer, for those making employment decisions, for those uncertain what the future holds, that they set their minds on Christ, Christ who has called us to himself. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Good and gracious God, we lift up additional prayers this morning. We remember in prayer Ted and Chad and Judy and Marlon and Frank and Gary and Jerry Morris and Jerry Becker and Elsa and Dean and Cheryl Malotki and all those others we now name in our hearts or out loud. And thanksgiving for the faithful departed who have inspired us by their witness to the gospel, that with them we will know the confidence of being held in your embrace. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Merciful God, you hear the prayers of your people even before they are spoken. We commend these and all our prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of that peace with one another. Peace be with you. I know you're very friendly. Blessed are you, O God, for the green earth given for all, for the talents we are given to share, and for this bread and wine. Transform us to be the body of Christ, that feasting on this food and drink, our lives may reflect your generosity. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Holy God, our Maker, Redeemer, and Healer, in the harmonious world of your creation, the plants and animals, the seas and stars, were whole and well in your praise. When sin had scarred the world, you sent your Son to heal our ills and to form us again into one. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his acts of healing, his body given up, and his victory over death, we await that day when all the peoples of the earth will come to the river to enjoy the tree of life. Send your Spirit upon us and this meal, as grains scattered on the hillside become one bread, so let your church be gathered from the ends of the earth, that all may be fed with the bread of life, your Son. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
God invites you to this table of bounty. Come, the banquet is ready. All are welcome. You may be seated. Let us pray. O God, in this holy communion, you have welcomed us into your presence, nourished us with words of mercy, and fed us at your table. Amid the cares of this life, strengthen us to love you with all our heart, serve our neighbors with a willing spirit, and honor the earth you have made. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, and abound in thanksgiving. And the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
And our closing hymn is printed in your bulletin.
My salvation, whom shall I fear? He's the source of light, the Lord of light is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He's the source of light. Whom shall I the source of life, the Lord of life, is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He's the source of life.